Blog Talk Radio.
Yeah.
that's a promise that the Lord gave to the children of Israel in the days of Solomon, as he petitioned the Lord about the situation that the children of Israel were facing at that time. And the Lord reminded Solomon after the offerings, after the sacrifices that he had made, after building the temple. He said, Solomon, I want to do something for the children of Israel. He said in that very, very 13th verse of 2 Chronicles chapter 7, he said, if I shut up heaven that there be no rain, or if I command the locusts to devour the land, or if I sent pestilence among my people. And then he said, if my people, that's right, friends, if my people. I'm Dr. Jerry Robinson, and I just want to welcome you today to Blog Talk Radio Live. And I just wanted to say that we are glad that you're here today. Pray that you've had an exciting week, a good week. And I believe by faith that we will have a great weekend. How about that? Well, let's get right into the word today. I want to give a shout out also to, before that, to all of the Blog Talk Radio host people that are with us, who come in with us on this, and Mr. Patrick Cook, who makes this possible for us. And I just want to say that we are glad and excited about what the Lord is doing with the team that he's developed through TaylorMade. If you're interested, why don't you give us a shout? A shout out to Dwight Jeffries, who introduced me to this particular segment, and also to Ms. Lois and all the rest of them who have blog talk segments. All right, Mr. Motivator, Mrs. Lois, God bless you, and a shout-out to all the rest of you guys. Had a great meeting on yesterday. But let's get into the Word, and let's talk about what the Lord is saying to you and me as believers concerning this particular passage of Scripture. You know, last week when I was on the broadcast with you, I just could not seem to get away from the word humility. And as I shared with you on last week, as I was praying during the time that the Lord began to minister to me about the importance of that very first word that he penned in that. He said, if my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves. In other words, if they would just bend their knees, if they would take consideration that there is a spirit of pride or an issue of arrogance there. He said if they would just humble themselves and pray, what a vehicle. What a promise. What a vehicle that the Lord has laid before you and me. The first vehicle is, he said, if we would humble ourselves, that is a particular, that's something that you and I must do in order to, first of all, even enter into the door that the Lord is talking about concerning this particular promise, that if they would humble themselves and pray. Man, what a vehicle, what a promise, what an avenue that the Lord has given us. He's not making it difficult. As a matter of fact, he's making it very easy for you and I to be able to communicate with him. Now, somebody said, well, where is the Lord exactly? And how is it possible that if he is for real, how can I talk to him, or either how can I communicate with him to get him to understand what I'm dealing with as an individual? Well, here's the answer right here. The answer is prayer. Somebody said, what is prayer? What is prayer? Prayer is just actually having a conversation or communication, or as one person said, communion with the Lord. As a matter of fact, you and I are communicating now. I'm communicating, and most likely you are reciprocating. There is a give, there is a take. But the bottom line is that communications is the verbal transmission between two individuals. Now, I know that somebody said, what do you mean? If the Lord talks to us, how do we know? It is in the heart of every man to know the voice of God. It is called conscience. And I want to get into that today, but I'm going to tell you that your conscience will tell you. As my wife tells my boys all the time, I know the Lord said something to you about that. In other words, conscience speaks to us, and it ministers to us because it tells us what's right and what's wrong. Have you ever been around something and you know that it was just not right, and your conscience says you don't need to be around this area, or you don't need to do this particular thing, or you don't need to go this particular place? That's the voice of the Lord. Now, I don't want to talk about that today. I tell you what, it's just, but you know that particular voice is a different voice from all other voices. And now if you hear this bad voice, this conscience saying do something wrong, then we know that that's not the Lord. We know that that, of course, is Satan himself, or as we describe him, the enemy of our soul. But he says, pray and seek my face. He said, if you humble yourself, if you'll take time out and bow your knee and remove yourself from your way of thinking and your way of doing things, the Lord said. He said, then he goes on to say, as we humble ourselves and pray, that if we would seek his face, seek his face. What does seek mean? It means to make an inquisition. It means to bring about a request. It means that you would take out the time to move everything else out of your busy schedule of life and look to a higher and greater power than yourself. And that power is the Lord. That power is Christ. That power is Jesus in the person of the Lord. Now, he says, if you seek my face, what actually today, what is the face of the Lord? You know, the face of the Lord, somebody asked that question. I would like to describe it in this manner. I would like to tell you that the face of the Lord is his word. Well, what do you mean? If you will go to the word of God, you will find every thought, every desire that the Lord has for you and me. It is the scriptures. It is the Holy Bible. It is the Holy Writ, as some would say. It is the very mind. It is the very thought. And somebody says, well, I've never seen it. But if you will go to his word, if you will seek his word, then you will see his thoughts and you can understand his face. His thoughts penetrate. His thoughts emanate. His thoughts give us how he really feels about you and me as individuals in person. Blood, it is his word. The psalmist said it like this. The psalmist said, early will I seek thee. You know, Joshua sought him. Moses sought him. Hezekiah sought him. And they sought him so that he could change things. It is imperative. It is of the utmost that you and I become very, very in tune to his word, so that we will know how to seek his face, how to seek him as an individual. I shared with you last week. You know, I was really touched last week as I began to minister in that broadcast. As I shared with you, I could literally feel the heart of God as I share with you about how he feels about you and me. Somebody says, well, you know, the Lord, he's upset at us and he's angry and he wants to destroy us and he wants to rid the earth of us. But my friend, that's not the case. That's not the case at all. As a matter of fact, it is not the Lord's desire that he would destroy us at all. It is his desire that we live. It is his desire that we prosper. It is his desire that we be more like him. As I look at the word of God and I hear the psalmist and all of the other prophets who ministered to us by reason of the word, I hear the prophet Jeremiah saying, it is the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, for his compassion faileth not, but they are fresh and anew every morning. Great is his faithfulness. And that is in the book of Lamentations. It is of the Lord's mercies that you and I have not been consumed. As a matter of fact, he's given you and I purpose to remain on the earth. And he loves us so much. He wants to embrace us. He wants to give us, as I shared last week, the Father's care. This is what he shared with Israel, and I shared with you last week. The shortest Bible verse that you and I can quote is Jesus wept. And he wept over Jerusalem because he said to Jerusalem, "Oh, Jerusalem, oh, Jerusalem, how would I have sheltered you? How would I have protected you as a hen over her chicks?" In one passage it says a hen over her biddies, which is really a time when the hen is protecting the eggs before they're hatched, and then they become chicks. She said, "How would I have hovered over you to protect you?" Now, if you know anything about the barnyard, if you know anything about the farm, you know anything about farming period, anything about the life of people who raise chicks or chickens or hens, you'll know that the hen, the mother hen's characteristics, even though she may be vulnerable to any attack of any other animal outside of herself, like if, for instance, a coyote or a wolf, that she's no match for them. But because of her heart for her chicks and her biddies, or either the eggs that she protects, she will not remove herself from her nest to protect her eggs. As a matter of fact, any predator that would come, that hen will stay there and give her very life for the eggs that she has produced or the chicks that have been hatched. Isn't that amazing? And that's what Jesus was saying to the children of Israel in the days of his life when he began to share with them how he had sent the prophets to them to warn them and to share with them about the things to come, and they did not receive them. He said, "You killed the prophets." He said, "I would just be like a hen over the eggs to protect you, to brood over you, to make sure that nothing happened to you." He said, "But you rejected me." And that's the cry of the Lord today. How does he feel today? I can sense him right now, even while I'm talking, how we rejected him, how we pushed him aside, how we have ignored him. When he's talking to us in conscience, our conscience is telling us that we need to change the way we're living. Our conscience is telling us that we need to do good things. Our conscience is telling us that we need to be better people. And yet, for some reason, some way, somehow, we push that voice away. Well, I tell you what, I can sense the Lord again here today. I feel him again. I feel him again. I feel him again. I feel him again. I can feel him now. How I can feel him as he's pleading with you and me. He's made us a promise today. He's calling us. He's sharing with us. Here I am. Take me. Here I am. Hear me. Here I am for you. And I tell you, he's here today for you. He's here. I don't care what your problem is. I don't know what your situation is. I don't know altogether what even created your situation that would make you feel like that there's no hope for you, or that there is no answer for your problem, no solution to what you're facing. But I just want you to know that Prophet Isaiah said to you and I as believers that there is no weapon that is formed against you, that is formed against me, that shall prosper. Because the Lord is on our side. I'm taking a side trip, I guess. You know, he said, if you seek my face, the Lord says, seek his face. That means make inquisitions, make inquiries. In other words, be requestful to him. Now, I want to say something here. I want to take just a moment and say that my family and I, we have declared the month of June as a month of Thanksgiving. We're just telling the Lord we don't desire anything from you as of such at all. We just want to say thank you for all the things you've already done. Thank you for all the things you're doing, and thank you for the things that you are going to do for us. You know, sometimes we want to ask the Lord to give us things and to do things for us, but how many times have we just really sit down and say thank you for all the things you've already done? Thank you for giving me my life today. Thank you for giving me my strength and my health. Thank you for giving me the provisions that I have in this life, the clothes, the food, the things that I, the place that I live, my residence. Thank you for the things that you've already done. How many times have we just really sat down and analyzed our situation and said thank you? You know what, I tell you what, thanks brings about a big change in the minds of anybody that you and I, even in this earth, deal with. If we begin to thank them for things that they do for us, it gives them an attitude of gratitude and shows them also that they can do more for us. Did you not know that that's what thanks will do? Not only it will not just give the person the attitude that you are grateful, but it'll say to that person or individuals that may give us a gift that they would desire to do it more and more. And that's what the Lord is saying today. He said, look, if my people, which are called by my name, would just come to me, just humble themselves and come to me and seek my face. And here's the greatest word I believe that he could have ever said. And turn, withdraw. Do 180 degrees, not a 360. That word really is termed repent. Repent is not a bad word. It's an easy word. It's a word that means actually what I just said. It means to turn. It means to move in another direction. It means if you're going north and you should be going south, then go south. It just means if you're going east and you should be going west, then go west. But don't go in a circle and turn around and go back in the same direction that you were removed from. That's the request of the Lord today. He says, I want my people to turn from what? Turn from what? He says, I want them to turn from their wicked ways. You know, wicked, that means to be ungodly, unruly, no God consciousness, evil, and cynical. And I'm going to tell you something, that most people who are self-conscious about themselves and they feel that the only way to do things is their way. The Bible says in the book of Proverbs that there's a way that seems right unto a man. In the book of Proverbs, it gives us the actual notation in 14 and verse 14, chapter 14, verse 12. There is a way that seemeth right unto the man, or you and me, but the ways thereof are the ways of death. The end of our way is the way of death. I want you to know that it's not my way. It's not your way. It's not what you and I can do. It's not our devices. It's not our methods of doing things that will get us to turn from our evil ways. It is the Lord's way. And his way is the right way. That's why the proverb here right went on to say in verse 34 of chapter 14, righteousness exalted a nation, but sin is a reproach. And that's what wickedness is. It's sin. It is a reproach. It is the very opposite. It is the very epitome of the wrong way of doing things in the sight of God. He said if they would turn from their wicked ways, ways, evil ways. Somebody said, well, you know, I'm not bad. I'm a really good person. I don't do bad things. I just do things my way. Well, I just share with you that the end of your way, the end of my way is death. I know Frank Sinatra sang his song, I did it my way. Well, Frank, I know he's deceased now, but that's not, we're not calling from the grave, but the bottom line is, it's not your way, and it's not my way. It is the Lord's way. In the book of Romans, chapter 1, the Bible says that the children of Israel, after the Lord began to plead with them, they went about to establish their own righteousness and not submitting themselves unto the righteousness of God. And therefore, they were in trouble because they became wicked. And the Bible goes on to say that they began to do things that were ungodly, as even down to the point, and I'm going to say something here today, and I want you to really hear me well, that they figured that their way was the right way and that their way was the only way. And because of that, I just want to bring this passage of Scripture to you today, and I want to reiterate it in Romans chapter 1, as he says that they gave themselves over. He says the people who felt themselves to be righteous in their own eyes. He said, and likewise, also in verse 27 of chapter 1, he said, and likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust one toward another, men with men, working that which is unseemly, and receiving in themselves the recompense of their error, which was meet. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, the Bible says God gave them over to reprobated mind to do the things which they are, which are not convenient. In other words, he said, I'm going to let you do what you want to do. Being filled with all unrighteousness and fornications and wickedness and covetousness and maliciousness and full of envy and murder and debate and deceit and malignity and whispering, backbiting, haters of God, despiteful, proud, boasters of themselves, inventors of evil things, and disobedient to parents, without understanding, covenant breakers. And we're running out of time. Covenant breakers. Without natural affection, implacable, unmerciful, who knowing the judgment of God, that they which commit such things now are worthy of death, not only do the same, but have the pleasure in them that do them. In other words, you can be associated with those people and say, well, you know, I'm not really a bad person, and my way is not really bad. I don't really care what they do, and I don't care how they act. Some people say, you know, it's all right for homosexuals and lesbians and other people, fornicators and all that. I just don't, you know, I don't, it's okay what they do. I'm just associated with them. Well, let me tell you something. Because you've attached yourself with them. Have you ever heard of the crime that whenever somebody's in a particular place and the authorities show up, they say, well, what are you doing here? They say, you say, well, I don't know about you. I don't. And they call it guilt by association. We're guilty if we associate even with those people. And I know that some of you are saying, wow, that's really hard, you know, because some of these people are my friends. Can I tell you something? They're really not. But I can't get, you know, here's the deal. The deal today is that the Lord is concerned about you and about me. And he loves us. He loves you very much. He wants us to turn from our evil ways and humble ourselves. God bless you today.